And on average, you travel for 45 minutes.
I feel like he deserves a proper introduction on ABC Sport, the chairman of the Port Adelaide Football Club,
guys.
David Koch. David, really appreciate
Thanks
your
for
time.
Having me.
The concept itself, so we may as well start there.
Yep.
It feels like we all spruik it whenever we make our way to Adelaide, but why does it work in this city, this concept, in its second year?
Look, it was touch and go whether Adelaide got it because Sydney was a favourite. And then the Premier, the grand final before last, worked that Olympic room on grand final day like I have never seen anyone work it before. And he just changed the sentiment of the commission, the broadcasters, the whole lot. So enormous credit to him. But look, Adelaide adopts it. It doesn't get lost in a big city. If it was in Sydney out at Homebush, you know, and rugby league would sabotage it anyhow. This is it gives the sport and the festival a place to breathe and really blossom. And Adelaide's just the perfect size for it. That it dominates the town.
What did you make of Chris Scott's comments that should be a showdown and it's unfair for the South Australian teams to play travelling sides?
As I said to Lingy, I was serious. Interstate clubs really are concerned about Victorian clubs and the amount of travel they have to do. If you extend that logic, if there's a Melbourne team playing in the grand final, then the grand final should be on neutral territory because it's unfair home ground advantage. So, Chris Scott, cry me a river. You know, forget it. You talk to West Coast about travel. Talk to Freo about travel. Talk to us about travel. Give me a break.
So they also came out this week through Justin Longmuir and said that it's unfair that the WA teams with Gather Round essentially have to travel again as a result of it. So are you? Yeah. How do you respond to that?
Look. It's great for the game.
Yep.
It is great for fans, the number of West Australians who have come over for it. It's great for the code. My old man said, yes, you can support your club. Only one thing more important than your club, and it's the code. And this has turned into a marquee event in a great city, the perfect home for it, and it's good for football. Like O-Round was good for the Northern States this year. You know, let's find something for the West Australians.
Do you feel like you're carrying the hopes for South Australia tonight, given the Crows went down last night? They're 0-4 to start the season, does it?
Yeah, that was a shame. we'll try and do our best. I thought we had it in the bag halfway through the final quarter last year. I get too emotional watching the footy, so I always go to the data. I'm a data man, so I'm on my AFL app. Apart from hit outs, we won everything. Last week I was going, we're going to roll home. And we didn't.
Does it help your...
That's footy.
In a two-team town, does it? And I grew up in Perth and
yep.
Spent the first part of my broadcasting career there. Does it help your club when the team's going well and the team across town is struggling in the fashion that they are with the Crows 0-4?
Oh, look. As a proud South Australian, we want both clubs to really play well. There's an advantage, of course. And
we like to win with sincerity when you say that.
Yeah, but sort of they really don't come into our thinking anyhow. We don't look over our shoulders at all. We have our own identity. We have our own strategy. So, you know, we want football as a whole to be strong in South Australia. And if it gets stronger with two successful teams, it's great. If it's just one successful team, as long as it's us, it's great as well.
I've got a list of questions as long as my arm for you, Koshy, but there's people here that will want to ask you some questions as well. So David Koch with us, the chairman of the Port Adelaide Football Club, ahead of Port Adelaide and Essendon, Corbin Middlemouse alongside Clint Weldon, Josh Franco and Cameron Ling.
David, I'm really interested. One of the big talking points in the last couple of weeks has been about the drugs issue.
Yep.
Do chairs have a right to know what's happening?
No, I don't think so. Not with the illicit drugs policy because that's medically based. What has been ignored in all the furor is the AMA came out and supported it and said it's exactly the right process that you should go through. It's medically based. It is voluntary. If we get too grumpy about it or players can easily walk away and like most other sports who don't have it, and I think that would be a great show. It's for player welfare, and if with medical ethics, president shouldn't know, well, no, I'm happy with that. Happy to take the medical advice.
Did you contribute to some of that furor with your initial comments regarding it?
Well, my initial comments were, remember, it was 6:15 in the morning. I hadn't seen it because it broke in the Herald Sun overnight. I was a bit blindsided, but basically I thought it had the allegations were more towards the WADA program, which I would have been surprised about. And of course, it turns out that they weren't. And also, it's a good reminder for everyone to know that they're two totally different policies and separate policies. And I think I said, you know, let's look at it, make sure every I is dotted, every T is crossed. And they've done that. And the AFL have said that it's always under review. It's been going for years. And the outcomes show that it has been working.
Are you comfortable? And I guess one of the major criticisms was the lack of transparency around the process. I absolutely agree. Players shouldn't be made public. Absolutely. But there was a question. Not many people knew about this process. And when you put that alongside who's going to play tonight, the secret herbs and spices with Ben Mackay about how do we actually arrive at this sort of decision. And then on top of that, right now, the situation with Angus Brayshaw, where the AFL has said, well, look, we know that there's an interest, but we're not going to tell you what's going to happen with Melbourne's salary cap.
Yep.
Is there enough transparency from the league to its
supporters? It is really tricky, isn't it, with that confidentiality and why a player is out. And I think that's one of the things that needs to be looked at. It's a fine line because you don't want to destroy that confidentiality. Or, as I said, the players will go, well, no, we're not going to be in it. They're only in it, and the policy is only in operation because the players agree to it. Lingy, was it around when you were playing?
Yes, it was. Yeah. Absolutely.
And you agreed with it?
Agreed with it.
Right.
I have one question around it, though. Given the mass confusion, I think, by the general footy public around the illicit drugs policy versus the wider policy and which one's which and which one's performance enhancing, all of that, should we get rid of it? Should we scrap the illicit drugs policy altogether to remove that confusion and simply be under the WADA anti-doping code?
Which we are.
We are under
the WADA.
But
that's the thing. We are under the WADA anti-doping code, but the illicit drugs policy covers substances that are not covered under WADA. So I think it needs to be explained better. And I think the general understanding has got to be a lot better. I think that will solve a lot of the issues. I think for most of us, we'd almost, you know, because of that confidentiality, it's not on anyone's radar, we'd almost forgotten we had a second policy.
I feel we've tried to explain it to we're blue in the face, or the AFL has, and still, if you ask just a punter
general
down the
public,
street,
I agree.
They will say, well, why do AFL players get three strikes at drugs and an Olympic athlete gets banned for 2 years?
Yeah.
So immediately there's that confusion between the two policies.
Yep.
You don't reckon, though, we should get rid of it so there's no confusion?
And so as a player, you think we should get rid of it?
Well, it never concerned me because I never had a drug problem.
No.
I'm not
accusing you of being on anything, but you would know players, with great respect, it's probably a different generation now, and there is a significant generational difference with this generation of player to even 10 years ago, 12 years ago. I think we need to keep it the medical advice is against it and says, no, this is misleading. Or the players say, no, it's putting us in a bad light.
What about the other issues in regards to the salary cap issue with what will happen with Melbourne and Angus Brayshaw? And again, I don't think we need to know those precise details, but I do wonder whether or not as a football public we should have some idea of the process in place with that, and even with Ben Mackay, how that happens.
Again, it's again a medical issue, and the privacy considerations. My personal view is if it is a medical retirement because of concussion, there's player welfare funds to cover lots of other injuries and things like that. But if it's concussion, it shouldn't be part of the salary cap going forward. I think that's the pub test. I think most Australians are pretty fair, and I think that would be a fair result.
David Kosh with us, the chairman of the Port Adelaide Football Club. This is Friday Night Footy on ABC Sport ahead of Essendon and Port Adelaide. Well, Port Adelaide and Essendon, given it's Port Adelaide's home game. Corbin Middlemass alongside Clint Weldon, Cameron Ling, Josh Franco, and, of course, David Kosh with us, the chairman of the Power. Josh Carr, does he have an understanding from the board that he is the next Port Adelaide coach? No timeline, but he will be the man to coach Port Adelaide once Ken Hinckley's done.
Well, I think Ken's really supportive of Josh developing into a senior coach, and Ken has publicly said he would love to see him as a senior coach at Port Adelaide. We have extraordinarily high regard for him. Josh, you know what sort of bloke he is. He's got away, he's worked at other organisations, he knows the Port Adelaide way, and we put a lot of effort into coaching development. We would rather sort of train up from internal than outside. I'm not sure if a lot of clubs do it, but we have a development coach for coaches, not a development coach for players, a development coach for coaches. So we put a lot of resources into it, and our assistant coaches are sensational, and we've produced, you're welcome, great head coaches for other clubs with all of them coming through.
But I guess my specific question was, does he have an understanding from the board that he will be the next man at some point in the future?
Not from the board.
Right, okay. The SANFL reserves set up, so there's a bit of a niche one in South Australia, but it does concern a lot of your fans, obviously, fans of the Port Adelaide Football Club. So we know, as the clubs hope, that they will join a national reserves competition at some stage. How accelerated can that timeline be?
Oh, we're happy to go next year into the VFL. If it's not a national reserves competition, we're happy to go into the VFL. I think, there's only four not at the moment. Three of the four, I think, are really keen to go in wherever. Because for a lot of your interstate listeners may not know, is we play under very different rules than any other AFL club with their second tier team.
With that second tier competition, though, would it only be if it was a stripped down? It returned to purely those with an AFL club. So all the
other that's up
teams.
To the AFL to decide on that. There's been talk of conferences and all of that sort of stuff to cut down on travel. So that would be a decision from the AFL. But we don't think it's a level playing field, us being able to develop our younger players through a second tier competition that is not as good and doesn't allow you to give the same support as most other AFL clubs.
This is a left field question.
I love left field questions.
Would you explore China again?
China. It's a very complicated project. We did it to remember. No, we were almost broke at the time, so we had, as a club, build a niche.
And a lot has changed, I know that.
And a lot has changed, and there was COVID and the trade wars, and Tim Ford from Penfolds is downstairs, so he's having a few reds, delighted with China lifting the restrictions on Australian wine. And there's talk from the government of, would we go back and play there?
Because it was the easing of that made me think, I wonder if
look, we put a lot of work. We learnt a lot along the way, which the AFL would admit this, that we had to drag the AFL along after a couple of years because we did it on our lonesome, and then the government sort of came as a small supporter. So we'd go back, but we're not going to take the risk on the whole risk again as a club. If the government wants us to go, great. Put up the dough and we'll be there.
Koshy, right at the start, we spoke a lot about Gather Round. I've just got one extra one for you. This is being loosely reported at the moment, so I can't
loosely.
Say 100% fact. It's just being out there. Would you support, in the future, a Gather Round multiple gather rounds in Adelaide, Sydney and Tasmania once that team is in. That's what's being suggested the AFL is keen to do.
Well, that would just be like Victoria on a normal weekend, wouldn't it? You know, Melbourne has a gather round every weekend, basically. So, no. I think it would dilute the goodwill, the community aspect, the buzz of it to whittle it, you know, divide it into thirds. No.
Just a couple of broad competition ones. I know you're a finance man, obviously, from way back. If Tasmania were looking to try and renegotiate their contract on the team in the stadium?
No.
No chance?
No. I'm a big supporter of Tasmania coming in. Really big supporter. We're all not-for-profit organisations. We're a community-based league, and we're incredibly proud of it. If Tasmania wants to put a team in, fantastic. Would love it. Welcome you with open arms, but understand you're coming in to Australia's game. Prestige sport that fans, players play in stadiums like this around the country. So your ticket in is to make sure there's financial stability and acceptance by the community and also facilities that live up to that prestige status. And that would be great. But look at this. Josh, you remember, there was marching in the streets here against the redevelopment of Adelaide Oval. There were marches in the streets about building that bridge over the river that everyone loves. Do you think I can find anyone today who will admit to being part of that protest? No. And it's been proven time from all sides of politics here in South Australia. This is the best bit of public infrastructure in this state for the last 20, 30 years in terms of generating economic activity.
All that said, how would you feel about a third team playing AFL games here if Norwood were to get a bid up for the 20th team?
Would Norwood were one of the initial bidders to go in the 90s in the AFL. Here's a suggestion. Why don't they merge with the Crows? Because then that would give them, rather than all the hullabaloo about the Crows moving to Thepparton, there's the parade, which would be terrific. Their heartland are all in the same area. You know, you'd have to stock up on Chardonnay for game day, but sort of out there. It could be the Norwood Crows.
What?
A genius thought. No one's thought of that, have they?
Well, some could say, given all your ideas on the broad look of the game, maybe you could be an AFL commissioner possibly going forward. Have you given that a fair bit of thought as to what that looks like going forward?
No, the commissioner, look, the game is in a great position at the moment, and the clubs and the commission work well together, and, you know, we're in a good spot, but we always want to improve and get better, and we see it warts and all. But, you know, there will be more people playing AFL in Queensland than South Australia this year.
Wow.
Now, that's... Who would have ever thought that? It's a testament to Queensland and the development of the game with the Lions and Gold Coast Suns. It means we got to do better here in South Australia.
Your clubs are going great, Koshy. Really appreciate your time and being so generous with us.
Thanks
on the
ABC. Me.
And Dan Norton, one of the best media guys in the game. Usually
he's not that good.
Usually the chair comes in and the media guy's waving after 10 minutes saying, pull him out, that's enough. And you've sat here with us for 20-odd minutes. So thank you so much for having me
and enjoy the rest of the weekend.
I will see you on Offsiders as well on Sunday morning on ABC TV. So
yeah, you and Caro trying to stitch me up over here. But this has been a good rehearsal.
I can't wait for it. So David Koch will be on Offsiders ABC TV on Sunday morning. He knows a bit about morning TV, so he should be home in that particular slot. Thank you to David Koch and the Port Adelaide Football Club, their chair, for joining us here at Adelaide Oval.